Glory. Well, we just plead the blood of Jesus over Patty Kate, that she gets better soon. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. Her body is healed. Every part of her body performs to the perfection in which God created it to perform. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are an awesome God. You are a magnificent God. Hallelujah. As the song says, you are altogether lovely. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Right now, we just plead the blood of Jesus over this service. We plead the blood of Jesus over your people right now, Father God. I speak peace. Hallelujah. I speak peace. I speak wholeness. Hallelujah. I speak provision. I speak protection. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We bind every scheme, attack, and assignment that the enemy has sent to come against us this evening and our families, Father God. And we loose your presence. We loose your peace in this place here, Father. All of you, Father, and none of me, speak through me. I am a willing, empty vessel. And I just thank you, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The title of the message is Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. And it is still come from me reading Joyce Meyer's book, Let God Fight Your Battles. It is still coming from that. And magnify the Lord during your battle. Amen. As you go through the battle, magnify the Lord. You know, they say, you know, this too shall pass. And I heard on, I think it was the Message radio, this too shall pass. It may pass like a kidney stone, but it's going to pass. It may hurt, but it is going to pass. This too shall pass, whatever we are going through. And I thought that was really a unique analogy. Yeah, it is going to pass. It may not always feel good as you're going through, but you're going through, and this too shall pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's a little something extra. Matthew 9 and 18. A synagogue leader came to Jesus while he was talking to John's disciples. He bowed down in front of Jesus and said, "My daughter just died. Come lay your hand on her and she will live." Matthew 8, verses 2 to 3. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. "Lord," the man said, the big L, not the little L, the big L. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Instantly the leprosy disappeared. There's a theme to both of these scriptures between the synagogue leader and the leper. They kneeled down in front of Jesus. They bowed down in front of him. They bowed down in front of him. Before they asked him for anything, they worshiped him. They magnified him. Before they asked for anything, glory to God, before stating their request, they magnified him, stating what they were going through, before stating what they was going through. The scripture translation indicated the leper stretched himself out before Jesus. One scripture says that. One thing that caught my eye in both scriptures, the leper and the leader knew Jesus could do it. They knew he could do it. The leper stated, "If you are willing, I know you can, but are you willing?" The synagogue leader said, "My daughter just died. Come lay your hands on her and she will live." They knew Jesus could heal them. The leper asked, "If you're willing, I know you can heal me." That's what he said. "Touch me and I know I'll be made clean." And not just, he said, "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." So he didn't just ask for a healing for the leprosy not to spread anymore anywhere else. He asked for cleanness, meaning made new, fresh skin, fingers growing, toes growing. If an arm was missing, it grew. Ear was missing, it grew back. He knew Jesus could do it, but he said, "If you're willing." The leader was confident in the power of Jesus to raise his daughter from the dead. How many of us just go to Jesus and God in prayer just by tapping them on the shoulder, in a sense? and just start talking about our problems and our battles and our issues. We just walk up, hey, you know, I got this issue going on. In a sense, it's like we're just walking up to him and just tapping Jesus and God on the shoulder. Say, hey, I got this issue going on. That's how I visualize that in my mind. That's how I visualize that. Do we honestly, genuinely believe he can do it? Or are we doubting it in our heart he can do it? I had to ask myself this question, even just this week. Migraine started Saturday. My neck was hurting, just all up in here, just hurting. Sunday, came to church, I was in pain with my head and my neck and my shoulders. Monday, same thing. Today, glory to God, it's the first day I'm feeling human. You know, no pain here in my head. But do I really believe that God can heal me? Do I truly believe, like the leper, if you're willing, can you heal me and make me clean? He knew, they knew that God can, that Jesus could do it. They want to know if you're willing. And the leader didn't even ask him, was he willing? He said, hey, my daughter just died. After he bowed before him, he kneeled. Then he said, hey, my daughter just died. Can you come over here and lay your hands on her so she can live again? He knew that he could do it. He knew Jesus. He knew. Do we know? The scripture in Psalms 104 states to enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. When we have our time with God and with Jesus in prayer, we need to go in being thankful, go into it being thankful, giving God and giving them all of the praise, exalting them. We should magnify them and not our issues or our problems or the battles that we're going through. We magnify those too much. I'm guilty. We magnify what we are going through more than we are magnifying our God. And magnify means to make something big. You know, it means to praise highly, to glorify, to extol. Specifically, it says to praise or render honor to God. We at times glorify these issues instead of our God, our Lord Jesus. We are in prayer with God, telling him all about how big this obstacle is. You know, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but you know, You're magnifying the problem instead of magnifying our God. You're telling him how huge the battle is, how everyone is coming against us, just whining. That's what we're doing. We're whining instead of worshiping. We're whining instead of worshiping, and I'm guilty, but no more. I'm becoming more aware of my prayers and not going to God to have a pity party. He does not accept invites to pity parties, just in case you were planning on inviting him. He does not accept invites to pity parties. He would not RSVP at all. And in Joyce Meyer's book, she made this statement, glory to God, hallelujah, and it's just powerful. Too much. It was too powerful to paraphrase. Glory to God. Instead of telling God how difficult our situations are and how much we need them to change, sometimes we need to look in the mirror because it's not the problem. It's us. Look at the man in the mirror or the woman in the mirror. We need to say things to him such as, oh God, I worship you. I magnify your name, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You strengthen me when I am weak. You enable me to do what I could never do without you. I know, oh God, that you have my best interest in your heart. You are a good father, and I believe I will see and experience your goodness in my life. I believe that right now you are working in my life and in my circumstances. I believe you are changing me and changing my family and friends. I believe you are dealing with those who are not born again. I believe they will accept you, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and demonstrate your character in their lives. I worship you, God, for the work you are doing right now and for your faithfulness. Imagine going to our Father like that, magnifying him and not the issues that we may be going through. Imagine the strongholds that would be broken, barriers torn down, bodies healed, family members saved, situations changed, lives changed. This is truly living Psalms 104 entering to his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. That's living that, how she just stated that. That's living. That's entering into the prayer, your prayer closet, your prayer room, with thanksgiving and with praise. And let's not just think about this as a method or a routine or just mere words we are saying. It's a heart issue. We must believe what we are saying and not just sweet talking God. And not just sweet talking him. He knows our intentions, our hearts. He knows it. He knows it. This should be a lifestyle for us as Christians, our constant communication with God and Jesus. Joyce Meyer states in her book, God knows the why behind the what. God is not concerned with what we do. He is concerned with the why we do it. He is concerned with the why. As it states in John 4:24, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must be real with God in our prayers, in our communication with him. If we cannot be real with him and transparent, who can we truly, truly be real and transparent with? If we just can't go to our Father and just be real and just be transparent, truly, because we know he's not going to tell anybody else. I'm just saying, we know that. These genuine conversations, these prayers with God and Jesus can and will change us if we allow it. If we allow it. We start talking differently. The people we associate with, the things we listen to and watch, we do things different. We just do it, and it just comes naturally. We start doing things different. It can also be an outwardly transformation too. People would say, you look different. Something about you just have changed. You got something going on. What's going on? You're glowing. What's going on? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But it can be an outward. What was happening on the inside of us can start coming and showing on the outside of us. Just like Jesus in Luke 9:29, when he was on the mountain praying, as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed. And his clothes became dazzling white. The scripture doesn't call this out per se, but I truly believe that Jesus may have been praising God as well. When that transformation was taking place, it was just not about his petition or his needs. It was not just about that. If we want to see real change, we should praise, pray, and worship wholeheartedly. It's a heart issue. It's a heart thing. Joyce Meyer states in her book, and this kind of got me to, what we talk about first in prayer often reveals what is most important to us. And we need to make sure God himself and our relationship with him is more important to us than anything else. What are we talking about first to God? Really something to think about. What are we saying first when we go into our prayer closet, into our prayer rooms, riding in our car, praying, whatever that time that you have with him? What are we talking about first? What are we saying first? May not feel good, but it's the word, y'all. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. We have been declared righteous by the blood of Jesus. We've been justified, declared righteous by the blood of Jesus. James 5:16 in the Amplified Version. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another. We need to get that part, praying for one another instead of talking about one another. Okay, go back. That you may be healed and restored. Okay, so there's a link right there. So if I go talk to Tasha, say, hey girl, I got this issue. This is what I'm struggling with. And we pray for each other. That's where some healing and restoration can take place, because we're genuinely praying for each other. I know I can trust Tasha, and Tasha can trust me, and we're talking to each other about what's going on in our lives, our struggles, what we're struggling with, because I know this sister is going to pray for me, and we're praying for each other, That means some healing and restoration is going to take place. There's a link to pray for each other and healing and restoration in our own lives. There's a link to it.
That's right.
I didn't really see that until just now. Glory to God. The heartfelt and persistent, because this is the part I was really focused on, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous believer. Persistent. Not one that go once or twice and say, wait, now I don't see nothing happening. In the Message version, that same scripture, but I'm going to verse 18 as well. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, human just like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it did. Not a drop for 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. The showers came, and everything started growing again. Elijah, powerful praying, powerful praying. And when he was praying, the Bible says he kneeled down and he put his head on his knees, between his knees. That was the birthing position of the Old Testament of women, how women birth, not laying down and pushing. They were squatting and pushing. And then they would tell them to push when they get into that position. Elijah was in the birthing position because he was birthing a miracle that he asking God for the rain and for it not to rain and for it to rain because his heart was right. His heart was aligned with God, but he was birthing something. And as women, we know it don't happen when we want it to happen. That child comes when they feel like it, for the most part. It doesn't happen when we want it. And labor pains can take a while. 1 hour, 24 hours. Whew. Mm-mm. It can take a while to birth it. So labor pains, from a spiritual standpoint, your labor pains may take a while. My labor may be longer, your labor may be short, depending on the seasons that we may be in and what we're going through, what God is trying to work something in us and through us. So it may be different. So don't compare what you're going through to someone else, even though they may have gone through something similar or the same thing. God may be trying to work something different in you and through you. So don't compare. But he prayed in that birthing position. Because he was birthing a miracle, because he was connected to God. There was a connection there. There was a relationship there. He was connected to God, and God was birthing a miracle through him. And he was in the birthing position. And we at times, as I indicated earlier, we at times look at prayers as a ritual and not relational. It's not a ritual. Not something that we just do. It's who we are. It's relational. It's about a relationship. Prayers and communication to our Father God should be about relationships and not a ritual. I read somewhere that praying is not about us informing God. He already knows. But God forming us. But God forming us. It's not about us informing God, but by God forming us. Glory to God. And let's be like Jacob. Don't let go until he blesses you. Keep praising him. Keep magnifying him. Keep praying to him. Push. Pray and praise until something happens. You know the something that you are believing and waiting for God for. Do not let go. We can hear the sound of the rain. Stay close to God so we can hear him. He's not a screamer, and he does not do long distance relationships. We got to stay close to God so we can hear him, so we can hear the sound of the rain when it's coming, so we can get and we get in that birthing position, have that relationship with God, being connected to God so he can birth the miracle through us. But we have to be in position to birth the miracles that God is, that we're believing God for. We have to be in position. And this is the last thing, and this is what God gave me for tonight. Let's get into the Word of God so we can speak his love language when we are praying and praising him. That's it, y'all. That's what God gave me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.